It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
I needed to stop waiting for my life to change. I needed to stop waiting for something else to happen to propel me into living the life I actually wanted.
Now for a quick disclaimer, all of the information and views shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions you have regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. If you want to feel empowered to start living your best life, this episode is for you. I have Lisa Bilyeu here today. She's the co-founder of Quest Nutrition, along with her husband, Tom Bilyeu, which grew 57,000% in its first 3 years. She's also the co-founder and president of Impact Theory Studios. She's the host of Women of Impact, and she's the author of her new book, Radical Confidence, 10 No BS Lessons on Becoming the Hero of Your Own Life. Lisa and I are going to chat about her journey, how she went from living a life of the mundane, as she would put it, to now living a life that really lights her up every day. We're going to be chatting about having a growth mindset, how to navigate negative self-talk, and how to start taking action to be the hero of your own life. I'm so excited about this episode. Let's jump into it and welcome Lisa to the show. Lisa, so excited to have you here. I cannot wait for our conversation.
Oh my God, what up? So great to be here, Crystal.
So you're doing lots of awesome stuff and your story is so inspiring. So to start, I would love for you just to share a little bit about yourself, maybe some of the highlights of currently what's going on.
Oh, the highlights. So I was born Greek Orthodox, so I was brought up to believe that I would be a wonderful stay-at-home wife and that would be my life. And that was my mission, was to support my husband. I actually ended up doing that for 8 years. And then we started a little startup company that grew at 57,000% and went from $1 to $1 billion in just 5 years. That was Quest Nutrition. So anyone listening that's happened to have a Quest bar, that is us. And then we pivoted and we started creating content because my background is filmmaking. So we started a company called Impact Theory, which now has over 500 million views on our content that we've created. And our goal is to really create impact on a global scale. And recently, over the last few years, I've taken a bite out of the bullet, or whatever the phrase is, and I've stepped in front of the camera myself, embraced my, the self-criticism that I wasn't good enough to be in front of the camera, faced my ego, and just kept on moving forward to where you see me today.
Amazing. Okay, so you went from being at home, right, to then helping out with Quest Nutrition, co-founding that. And now you are doing a lot of really incredible things and you just wrote a book.
I did. Confidence. That's right. I didn't even say that I wrote a book. It's so new to me. I completely forgot. Yes. Thank you very much. And I'm author of Radical Confidence.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey. So backtracking a little bit, when you were at home, okay, how did you then transition from that role to being a co-founder of, I don't know how much the company is valued at now, $1 billion+ company, to now hosting your own show, being extremely visible and having a book? Like what happened in your life that made that huge pivot?
Yeah, thank you. So this is actually the reason why I wrote the book, is because there's so many people out there. I've interviewed so many incredible people, I'm sure you have too, whose whole lives, the success came from the fact that they hit rock bottom. It's like something really bad happened in their life. And then they think, well, there's nothing else for me to lose, so I may as well go for it. And so many success stories come from hitting that rock bottom. But for me, and so many millions and millions of women, stay in what I call in my book, purgatory of the mundane, where you haven't hit rock bottom, so you're not jolted into action. And you live a mundane life. And someone asks you, how's your day going? You go, it's, I'm fine. How are you? Okay. But let's just backtrack. As a kid, when you were asked what you want to do in life or what life you want, never did you say, I want a fine life. I want an okay life, right? We have these big dreams and like these big audacious goals. And yet somehow something happens along the way that when we become adults, we think being just fine is actually a life that we can settle for. And the truth was, is that every time I was asking myself, am I really happy? Mm-hmm. I started to use gratitude as a way to keep me going. Now, gratitude can be beautiful when you find yourself thinking negative things, when you find yourself, you know, maybe in the victim mentality, woe is me. You can use gratitude to really, you know, pull you out of it. Like instead of looking at the negative, look at the positive. Right. The problem with me is I did that the first few years, but over time, as I started to live the life of just fine, every time that idea of, is this really my life? Am I really happy? I used gratitude to dismiss how unhappy I was. And so every time that thought started to whisper, like, are you really happy? I started to say, well, how ungrateful am I to ask for more when I have a roof over my head? How ungrateful am I to want happiness when I have a husband that loves me? You know how many people want a partner like, you know, to love you, Lisa, like you have? How ungrateful are you? And so the dialogue inside my head is exactly what ended up keeping me stuck in the first place. And it wasn't until my husband came home with this idea of wanting to have this new startup because him and his business partners were also unhappy, that I went in and I was like, all right, babe, as a good Greek wife, how can I support you? Now, with a startup company, he was like, well, just ship a couple of bars from the living room floor. Just measure a couple of bits of ingredients. We'll rent a kitchen and we'll cut bars with knives and, you know, knives and rolling pins if you don't mind helping out. Now, at the time, for 8 years, I had had the mentality that that was where I was supposed to be, supporting my husband, even though inside I didn't want to. But how many of us, how many people right now are listening that are like, well, I'm just going to sacrifice. I'm just going to sacrifice for a year. I'm just going to sacrifice for 2 years. And what you end up doing is you sacrifice for everybody else's happiness, except for yourself. Mm-hmm. So 8 years I was doing that. My husband starts this new startup company. I of course say, well, of course I'm here to support you. What can I do? And what I didn't expect is that company would grow at 57,000%. So that looked like literally me shipping bars off my living room floor one day to you blink. And now I'm shipping bars from my garage and then you blink again. And now I have a facility for 10,000 square feet. I blink again. I have 40 employees underneath me. And I had no idea what I was doing all along the way. And so the biggest thing that I learned was I needed to stop waiting for my life to change. I needed to stop waiting for something else to happen to propel me into living the life I actually wanted. And how many people sacrifice, like I said, they sacrifice for everybody else. They dismiss what they really want. And before you know it, you look back and years have gone by. And so for me, it was Quest. It was something that actually jolted me into like the propelledness of moving forward, forced me every time that I faced something that I had no idea what I was doing. Every time I faced an obstacle where literally the negative voice in my head is like, run in the opposite direction, Lisa, because you have no idea what you're doing. Every time I had that, I had the choice. I can run in the opposite direction, which that would cause me to lose my house because our house was up for collateral. Or I can face my ego. I can face myself. I can face my insecurities. I can face my inadequacies and I can get over them. I can tell myself that who you are today, Lisa, does not dictate the person you can become. And that idea, that shift in mindset is what took me from not knowing anything, being completely scared, to then embracing the change in my life, to then embracing this incredible growth that we had in the company, and then embracing the really facing myself and stop hiding from the things that I thought meant something negative about me, like I was worried about failure, and realize that failing actually means something amazing about me. It means that I care about my life enough to take a chance in the first place. And so with all these small shifts in my career, in my mindset, is exactly what took me from feeling stuck and totally powerless to then actually taking the reins and becoming the hero of my own life.
Amazing. So when you were in that role of helping Quest get to where it is today, did you feel fulfilled? Was that enough, or were you still having that sense of like, I'm doing this for someone else. I'm not doing this necessarily for myself.
So originally, yes. And this is where mission comes into play. I didn't really understand why having a mission was really important. You hear a lot of people talk about it, but how do you actually use it in your own life? Now, for me, when we were growing Quest, I literally didn't know what I was doing, to the point where you think I'm joking, girl, but let me just paint a picture of, I've been a boss to my two doggies for 8 years. And now all of a sudden I have to use this new computer software system where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. And so someone's trying to teach me. So I get my little pen and paper, and one of my husband's business partners is like, all right, so you switch on the computer. And I'm like, whoa, wait. What button did you press? And he's like, this one over here. I'm like, okay, press button on left. And he's like, okay. And then you open this. I'm like, whoa, wait. Where did you go? And he's like, well, I just clicked into Safari. Okay, where did you find Safari? In the bottom right. Okay, click on Safari in bottom right. So that is just really painting a picture of where I came from. I didn't know anything. I was that petrified. I was that clueless of how to even get started. Now, over time, our house was up as collateral. So if the company went under, we lost our house. So originally, as I face all these things that I don't know, where my ego, where the insecurity came in, you know, me wanted to run, wanted to say, Lisa, don't do this because you don't know how to, you're going to fail, you're going to embarrass yourself. Where in the past, I would have run in the other direction. In these moments, I had a choice. You can either run in the other direction, which means you lose your house, or you can face your ego and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So every time I found these obstacles, I just asked myself that question. Now it's up to me. Now, every time I was like, well, I don't want to lose my house, so I better figure it out. I don't want to lose my house, and I better figure it out. Now, the problem is that type of motive, that fear-based motivation, I don't think is sustainable. It isn't a move towards something. It's actually a run away from something, right? Run away, like do this so that you don't lose something. That it can be very paralyzing. And it isn't actually, I find, fulfilling. So what I realized over time is in the understanding of growing this shipping department, we were growing at 57,000%. I mean, we went from zero to $1 billion, like I said, in 5 years, but we became the second fastest growing company in North America. Wow. So we were growing that fast. And someone that has zero understanding of shipping department or building a business, my background's filmmaking. So I was very much like, you know, what's his name? The rapper was like, I basically started from the bottom. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I really did started to like build these skill sets. But as I was building the skill sets, it was all based on the fear of not losing my house. Mm-hmm. And something magical happened. Over time, as I started to figure it out and the bars started to get shipped, we started to hear from our customers. And there were two things that became such freaking staples in my life that to this day, 15 years later, I remember them, because that was the pivotal moment that I realized you can use things as great motivation tools. And it was, one woman wrote in, she was 40 pounds in hospital with anorexia. And she wrote in saying, I've just discovered your bars. And she was on like the recovery. She said, your protein bars have now made me okay with calories again. Now, growing up with a mother that was borderline anorexic, that type of impact becomes way beyond just you. It becomes way beyond just you save your house. That becomes really like you're actually saving someone's life. So every time I found myself that I wasn't, I didn't have the right skill set, or I felt inadequate, I was too afraid to tackle something because my ego was getting in the way. In those moments, I just asked myself, what is more important, Lisa? You worrying that you're going to look foolish, or you feeling incompetent, or you walking, like, let's say even walking in a room where I'm the only female and there's 10 other men with like 10 years experience over you. That's a real scenario. How on earth do you find the confidence or the guts or the balls, whichever word you want to use, to walk into the room? It has to become something that is so tied to your heart that propels you even when you face the fear. So for me, when I would find myself being filled the imposter syndrome, do I belong in this room? Every time I would just ask myself, Lisa, you don't have to walk in this room. But if you don't, you're not going to help that anorexic community. You may not help that woman right now that fears food. And all you need to do is walk in this room, Lisa, and help get the bars out. And maybe you've saved her life. Now that becomes going from a fear-based mission to an absolutely like empowerment based mission and a lift up versus push down.
Yes.
And so that then became my North Star, is that anything that I do, anything that I tackle now, is that I need a mission that so ties to my heart that any obstacle, whether I'm equipped for it or not, it enables me to keep moving forward because I have a reason to that is so tied to the core of who I am.
That's amazing. And right, it's making it less about you and more about the mission and the bigger picture, which I think helps to navigate that fear, which is natural, which surfaces, and the insecurities that surface when you're putting yourself out there and you're stepping into a new arena. And I want to talk about one of the chapters in your book, because I feel like this is a great transition into it. So your book, the full title is Radical Confidence, 10 No BS Lessons on Becoming the Hero of Your Own Life. I love that. And one of your chapters is about make up your mindset. I can figure shit out. I can do hard things. Yeah. I love that. So I would just love to hear a little bit about that chapter. And what does that mean? Where does that come from?
Yeah. Mindset to me was the absolute fundamental thing that changed my life, because I used to protect my ego. And so anytime something came up, I just said, oh, I can't do that, as a way of not even as giving myself an excuse, to not even try. Or also I would just not do it so that I wouldn't fail. Because if I failed, it meant that that would reflect badly on me. I was teased and bullied as a kid. So I never wanted another reason to feel badly about myself. And so what I actually found it rather soothing to be like, oh, I can't do it. No, I don't know how to do that. It protected me. Now, what it ended up doing is it doesn't actually protect you. It keeps you stuck. It doesn't allow you to grow. It doesn't allow you to propel forward. And I really did believe that who I was meant that that was who I was going to be for the rest of my life. Now, a growth mindset takes the word I can't and just pivots. And even if it's just the word, you can add yet at the end, right? I can't yet, or I don't know a way yet. I haven't found a way yet. This isn't possible as I know it right now. It just gives you a different way of looking at things to allow you to go, well, if this was possible, what would that look like? And by giving yourself the opening idea or that something is a possibility changes how you act. It literally just goes, oh, is this possible? Let me give it a shot. So by how you think will absolutely dictate how you show up. So when I say, throw anything at me, in fact, I want to play the piano, I can say, I can't play the piano, which is true. I don't know how to. But by saying I can't, A tells me I'm incapable. Now, if I say I don't know yet, it is giving me the idea that I have the capability if I choose to.
I love that.
So just by using words in how you show up about the things that you're not capable of yet will absolutely have an echo and effect of how you then show up. So how you think absolutely will dictate. And the piano thing is a perfect analogy for me, because I used to say, I have no idea. I can't play the piano, and it doesn't serve me. That doesn't serve how I want to think about myself. And by changing it into, I choose not to learn how to play the piano, now takes, it gives me the power. It now actually shows me the truth is that I could choose to play the piano. I just don't, because that's not where I want to spend my time. And now you can imagine if you put that notion into something silly or small, like the piano, with everything you use in life. I want to live in a different country. I want to build a business. I want to quit my job. I want to, you know, fill in the blank. Now it can be so freaking grand, and you say, I'm going to learn how to be the best pianist in the world. That's freaking grand. And now I just have to sit back and go, it's actually possible.
Right.
I just have to figure out how.
Right. Amazing. And I think that just that simple word of adding yet at the end, you saying that really stuck with me. And I'm thinking as a parent too, and the parents listening, what a great thing to teach your kids, because kids are, you know, trying new things all the time. They're learning and they don't know a lot of stuff yet. So sometimes they can get hard on themselves. So I think just being able to teach that lesson to your children as well is such a wonderful way to empower them that you don't know that yet.
And is it an amazing though that you even said, like, as kids, we try a lot of things, but as adults, we don't give ourselves the grace to try new things. You know, and that's a lot of things like people say to me, like, Lisa, how do you find your passion? And that's my answer. It's like, you don't find it. The truth is, as a kid, you get the opportunity to play. You get the opportunity to do a singing class, to go to karate, to try this. And then what ends up happening is that spark happens. You find the interest, you lean into it more as a kid, and then you do it more and more as you get older, and then you realize, oh my god, this is the thing. But some people don't get that, and now as adult they think they've missed out. And the thing is, like, oh my god, no, you can be at any age and unleash your passion. And how do you unleash it? You have to just try a bunch of stuff and just give yourself the grace to hate most of it. And then give yourself the grace to not be inspired by some of it. And then give yourself the grace to go, oh my god, I never thought I would enjoy this. But you know what? It actually made my heart sing. And even though this seems so out of character for me, no one would guess this, whatever, fill in the blank, I'm going to keep doing it. And that becomes a, are you going to fan the flames? Like, does that spark really just become a raging bonfire? You don't know unless you give it a shot.
I love that. And I totally agree. It's like, why don't we continue with that level of like trying new things and, you know, sports or whatever, art or whatever it is your interests are. A lot of those things drop off once you start a career. And I, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And I used to practice in integrative psychiatry. And when I was in practice, one of the big things was like, what did you used to love to do that you've like put to the side because you don't have time anymore?
Yeah.
Like, you know, add that back in or try something new. I totally agree. It's really about kind of nourishing that passion and that excitement in our lives as adults.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would love to segue a little bit into another one of your chapters. And this one is Life is Not a Fairy Tale, Save Yourself. I mean, that's a powerful statement. So I would love to hear a bit of the backstory. I know you went through some health struggles that, you know, you had a journey with being able to overcome that. So I'm hoping you can share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is one of those moments where timing was everything. And just so to give people some context, about 6 years ago, Quest became, I mean, it was the dream. Tom and I, we'd been working so hard. And on the really, really hard days, we would drive around Beverly Hills and just like try and motivate ourselves. You know, when it's like, you're exhausted, you're like, why on earth are we doing this? Putting all this time and effort. I live in a hairnet. Like, is this really the life I want? So let's get motivated. So we would drive around Beverly Hills and just look at all the beautiful houses. Cut to a couple of years later, Quest becomes $1 billion company, and we actually get to buy one of these houses in Beverly Hills. It's like the freaking dream come true. Yeah. You can't time it better. It's like, oh my god, this is amazing. We buy the house, we get the Dom Perignon bottle, because I'm always the person that is like, I want to envision what it feels like, not just like dream, but actually think of a scenario on how I would be able to live out that dream. Mm-hmm. So part of me was like, I want to do a 90s hip hop video because I'm a 90s chick.
Love
so
it.
I'm like, I want to be by the waterfall. I want a bottle of Dom Perignon, and babe, I want to twerk for you. And I want to like pour Dom Perignon down my bikini, you know, my body. And so we get the house, we get the waterfall, I get the Dom Perignon. And it's like, I can't believe this is true. I take a gulp of the Dom Perignon, and just like that, it felt like my gut exploded. Mm. That's the only way I can describe it. Now, for 15 years leading up to this, what I didn't realize was I actually would end up having this scenario happen to me where my gut would fall apart. For 15 years, I had a very unhealthy relationship with food. I saw my mom as borderline anorexic, so I thought fat was bad. I thought carbs were bad. I was getting sick a lot because I didn't realize 70% of your immune system is carried in your gut. So I was getting sick. I was going to the doctors. The doctors were giving me antibiotics. So you do that for 10 years. You take antibiotics repeatedly. You don't have a good relationship with food, so you're not, you know, replenishing your gut. It turns out that's exactly what ended up leading to causing me this absolute gut distress. Now, in this pinnacle time, it led to, for 6 months, I could barely stand up for longer than 5 minutes at a time.
Lisa.
It got so bad that I was like 20 pounds lighter than you see me now. My stomach was so protruded out that it was so painful. I could barely eat anything. So for at least a year. So I was extremely malnutritioned, and this is the height of our success. Yeah. So it really did become almost like the success doesn't buy happiness. Like it became the perfect timing of the most successful time of my career and the least successful of my health happened at the same time. So immediately in that moment, it told me, oh, success doesn't buy you happiness. Feeling good about yourself does. And so what I ended up doing was, at the time, I was blaming the doctors. The doctors gave me antibiotics. It's all the doctor's fault. So I was going to the doctors to fix me. And so I was waiting for them to give me a pill. I was waiting for them to tell me what to do. And so in these moments of gut distress, where even just a bit of pepper on my food got my gut in such disarray, I almost got rushed to the emergency room because I could barely breathe. So that's how bad it got. I could eat about 4 ingredients. That's beef, lamb, salt, and coconut oil for over a year. Now, that is the only food that at the time really just settled me. I was like, this is the only food that I can actually help. I go to a doctor. I go to many doctors. They're giving me these pills. I'm trying to get fixed. Sure. One of the doctors turns around to me and says, you know what? Actually, you're actually allergic to beef, Lisa. So you should stop eating everything you're eating and you should eat raw vegetables. Now, in this moment, I had the mindset that it was someone else's job to fix me. It was someone else's job to save me. It was the doctors. They were the experts. And so even though for over a year, I knew raw vegetables would be bad for me, I still listened. I ignored my body. I ignored all the signals my body was trying to tell me. And I was like, well, Lisa, doctor knows better about your body than you do. Of course, he's the expert. And so I blindly followed his advice. And of course, what happened was it put me in gastro hell. And for 2 weeks, I could barely stand up or breathe again. And over time, I realized, oh my God, I was looking for I was blaming the doctors. I was saying this was the doctor's fault. But really what I was doing is giving my power away. And what I realized was it was actually all my fault. Now, the word fault can trigger people. So I will say, use the word ownership, responsibility. But in that moment where I said, oh my God, this is all on me. I took the antibiotics. I swallowed them. The doctors didn't force them down me. And when the doctor said, you know what? I probably shouldn't give you this many antibiotics. Not once did I ask why. Not once did I go home and do the research. Now, the most amazing thing is that realizing this was all my fault meant I took my power back, which meant now I was no longer waiting for someone else to fix me. I am my own hero. And by golly, I better save myself. And by changing that, by pivoting that idea of waiting for someone to save you, no matter what it is, whether it's health, relationship, business, personal life, whatever, in shifting that and saying, oh, no, everything is on me. The choices are on me. How I show up is on me. The decisions I make are on me. Not knowing was my fault. Not knowing meant that I didn't take responsibility. I didn't take ownership. I thought the doctors were the experts. But no, Lisa, this was all your fault. And that meant the most beautiful thing is that I can now save myself.
Wow. So are you feeling, how is your gut health now? Are you at a place where you feel good? Are you still navigating some ups and downs with that?
Yeah. So that idea shifted, going back to what we were talking about earlier, right? With the idea of the growth versus fixed mindset. The second I had a growth mindset, the second I realized, oh, this is on me. Oh my God, Lisa, this is all your fault. That actually immediately changed the actions that I took. So I literally sat there and I was like, oh, so if this was all my fault, if now I have the power back and it is on me to fix me, what would I do differently? Mm-hmm. And immediately I said, I need to know what my baseline is with my gut. So I took a pen, I took a paper, and I just started to take inventory of what I ate, how I felt. I bought an Oura ring. I started to see how I slept. I bought a continuous glucose monitor. So I started to make a correlation between how my gut was feeling, the sugar intake, my blood levels, and how I was sleeping, because I was sleeping like for about 10 hours a day. And I was waking up completely exhausted.
Got it.
And no one was telling me that that was a problem. And I was like, but it doesn't make sense to me. And even the doctors were like, oh, no, you're fine as long as you're sleeping a lot. And I'm like, but I wake up exhausted.
Yeah, you don't feel rested.
And so going, oh, well, if this is all on me, if I am going to fix myself, what am I going to do about it? This is something where there's a flag. Okay, Lisa, pay attention to the flag. The flag is saying this doesn't seem right. Great. If it doesn't seem right, how am I going to take ownership over it? Okay, what do I know that can track my sleep? An Oura ring. Great. Let me get an Oura ring and let me see if there's any disturbance in my sleep that maybe I don't realize. And I started to realize, oh, I wasn't actually getting much REM sleep. And I was getting like really disturbed. I thought I was sleeping through the night, but I was waking up like 8 times. Huh. And so I was like, why was I waking up 8 times? And I was like, maybe this has got to do with my gut. So I went and got a continuous glucose monitor and I started to track my blood levels. And what I started to realize was there was a correlation between my glucose levels plummeting in the middle of the night and me waking up.
Hmm.
So now I started to go, okay, well, what if I ate differently as my last meal? Would that have an effect on how I was processing glucose during the night so that now maybe that would affect me not waking up? Yeah. And so then I started to test. I started to try different foods. I started to test different timings of when I was going to eat. And what I started to discover was instead of listening to the experts, I was finally listening to my body. Mm. And I was finally saying, oh my God, you know what? If I ate 3 hours before bed, it helped my gut so much. I wasn't crashing in the middle of the night. I wasn't waking up with a bad stomach pain. And then I started to realize that the 3 hour mark for me, not for anybody else, but for me, was the perfect timing to go from taking my last bite to then going to bed. Now that was just ownership that I took. And that was me realizing how I can keep showing up for myself. And that is how you go from feeling helpless, giving your power away, to finally freaking taking the reins, telling yourself you are your own hero, and then acting in accordance and then seeing results.
That's amazing. And I'm pulling from my personal experience being in healthcare. So I worked as a physician assistant for a while, and then I became an integrative medicine fellow. So I worked in a lot of different arenas. I was in pediatric pulmonary. I was in plastic surgery. I was in functional medicine, integrative psychiatry. So I really got the wide variety there. And, you know, what I find in being on kind of this side of it is it really needs to be a team, because each person is not a statistic. So everyone is very unique. So I truly believe that each individual is an expert in themselves, but you want to be able to pull from the knowledge of, you know, physicians or experts if you're trying to solve a problem, but you have to do the research on your own end too. And you have to make sure that it makes sense for your body. So I really appreciate you sharing that story. And I'm curious, do you have any insights into that? Like, how do you navigate taking other people's information or recommendations while also staying grounded in your own truth and kind of navigating that?
Yeah, that's so powerful. And thank you for bringing that up, because I'm not saying ignore the experts. That is not what I'm saying. Right. I'm just saying, listen, assess, and then see how that feels for you. So, yeah. You know, it's like, we all know so many ketogenic studies are mostly done on men. And so even just doing, going by blind, by opinions and other people's experiences, I think you need to take it with a pinch of salt and see like, okay, well, there may be some truth to this, but does this fit me? So ketogenics, for instance, was a huge, amazing thing for me originally, because what it did is it took my gut that had been inflamed for years, because I had so much gut distress. Yeah. What I heard was, so I start taking these opinions, I start hearing experts, everyone saying about ketogenic. So I start asking questions. So that's step one, right? Just ask a bunch of questions and don't be afraid to be the newbie into the area where you don't know. Like, the great news is it's your body. So if you don't ask the questions, you never know. So I just started asking questions. Well, why is ketogenic good? What does it do? And so what I started to realize is, oh, ketogenics is very specifically great for inflammation. Could this be right for me? Well, my gut feels inflamed. So it made sense from a check with your body, check with your mind, and see if that feels right. If it does, then give yourself a timeline. I don't go, well, this is going to be, I'll go, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this. I'm going to give myself the grace to try this for a month, but actually try it. Like, don't BS yourself and then do it for a day and then take 3 days off and then do it for another 4 days and then take a week off and then just say it doesn't work. The great news is you're doing it for yourself. So you know if you're giving it your all or not. So don't try and trick yourself, because there's no escaping you. Right. And so I just said, the results are for me. where the results aren't for anyone else. So if I'm not true to me, then I'm only tricking myself. So I just said, can you make a commitment to yourself? So that's step one. Tell yourself that you're going to make a commitment, give yourself a bit of a timeline, and then understand why you're doing it. But then make sure that it fits well. So for me, it was like, I knew the why. It was to try and help my gut. Mm-hmm. I knew the what. It was going to be ketogenics because I thought that maybe inflammation was going to help. And I gave myself a timeline. And so it's like, you try it for a month and then you just see. And what I didn't realize was things like dairy were torture for me. So I was having heavy cream and stuff like that because everyone was saying ketogenics. You could, right? So it becomes this test and assess. And so because I wasn't looking anymore for a magic pill, I'd already been sick for over a year. And that at that point, I was like, I'm not looking for a magic pill. I'm just going to see how my body feels. And so it became the see how your body feels, take an inventory, write it down. And what I was doing, literally, I would try one new thing every month. If it was one new food item, I would try it. So let's say I would say, okay, I know that X amount of foods sit well with me. And now I'm going to introduce something new. Well, I know that if you have an allergen, it can actually stay in your body up to 3 days. So I can have it for one day. I could be like, oh, I'm fine. But I know I have to wait 3 days. So now you can't, there's no rushing through it. This is not a sprint. And I just told myself this is a marathon. Mm-hmm. And every time I would make a commitment to myself, the only person that would suffer if I break that commitment is me. And I would try something and I would say, cool, I'm going to wait 3 days. And then I'd see how I would feel. And I would write down to the point where you think I'm joking. I would write down my bowel movement and then how I felt, how long I slept for, and how I felt the next day. That's how serious I took it. And then how I felt with brain clarity, because I was having a lot of brain fog. I was actually becoming very forgetful. So I would write down an inventory of, was I forgetful today? Did I have brain fog today? It's like, yeah, you know what? Around 4 o'clock, I actually started to feel tired. And then I would just rinse and repeat. And now this becomes a, oh my God, Lisa, isn't that tedious? Doesn't that take a long time? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But the question is, what is your goal and what are you willing to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And so I just asked myself, what is my goal? To be healthy. What am I willing to do to get there? Whatever it takes. If that means pausing my business, if that means stopping, you know, my training, which I did, I stopped working out. I gave myself at least three months off of the gym. So I made the commitment to myself and it became these small little stepping stones where we have to listen to our intuition 100%. So you take what the expert, to come full circle to your question, is you absolutely listen to the expert, but then you take it in, check with your gut, do your research, and then test it, but do not go in blindly and follow them blindly and do not dismiss them blindly. Do your research and then take what you feel feels right for you and then see, does that move you towards your goal or not?
I love it. Yeah, that's really, really great insight. And Lisa, we are coming close to the end, but I think
already.
It's like, I'm looking at the time. I'm like, holy guacamole. I could just keep talking to you. So the angle I'm thinking we can quickly touch on is one of the chapters in your book, which I think is good to kind of get everyone listening motivated, which this chapter is get off the couch and put on your bad bitch boots.
Yes.
I would love to just hear a little bit about that and any inspiring words that you have for the listeners.
Yeah. So that really was about motivation. It's like, look, not all of us feel great about ourselves all the time. And there are moments where all you want to do is freaking sit on the couch and like put on your Netflix and get your tub of ice cream and eat it, you know? And sometimes it's like, go ham. If that's the life you want, you absolutely should do that. Live the life you want. But so many of us have these dreams and have these goals and we just don't know how to get started. We don't know how to push ourselves. We don't know how to overcome the obstacle when we face one. And so this becomes a, what is your tool? What are you going to go to when you don't feel motivated, when all you want to do is sit on the couch? And the bad bitch boots came from, have you ever seen a kid when you give them a cape?
Oh yeah. Right.
What do they do?
Well, they like stand taller, you know, it's the confidence, you can see it. They take on that role. Yeah.
Yes. They put the fist in the air. They fly off the couch. They act like they're Superman. It's like the impact that clothes can have on little kids and embodying that feeling is, we all know it, but yet we don't do it as adults. Like there's this instinct natural nature in us to be impacted by things that we wear. You see it in kids.
Right.
So I was like, as an adult, I was like, how do I use this to my advantage? Because there was something like, for instance, stepping on stage. I was so fearful about public speaking that I was like, I need to grasp at straws. Like, how the hell am I going to get myself to walk on stage when I am so shit scared? I don't have any motivation. I don't believe in myself. How the hell am I going to get on stage? And so this was me grasping at straws. This was like, all right, what is the version of my cape? And so what I did is see this. You can even see I wear this little Wonder Woman necklace. And so this was the first thing that I was like, okay, maybe if I just look in the mirror a lot and keep repeating that I'm badass like Wonder Woman, will I end up feeling it? And will this necklace, the symbol of Wonder Woman, become like a version of my cape? And so what I did is I know mindset, I know human behavior, I know that it takes repetition to create habits. So I said, all right, how do I fake it? So I'm going to create my own habit by feeling, by believing that I'm Wonder Woman, by repeating to myself every time I put on this necklace, you are a badass like Wonder Woman. And so I did that. And so that really helped. And so I was like, great, what else can I do this with? And so I was like, every time I put on boots, like knee-high boots, I actually feel sexier. I actually do feel like a bit more of a badass. And so I was like, okay, so maybe I have to wear boots on stage. And I was like, all right, so how do I use boots as a motivation? And I was like, oh, they're my bad bitch boots. Like, oh, that sounds fun, right, to say. So now I'm going to deliberately cultivate the idea and the feeling of every time I put on these boots that I feel like a badass. And so over time, I started to put on my bad bitch boots. I call them my bad bitch boots. I zip them up and I'm like, yeah, these are my bad bitch boots. And so you can imagine I'm gearing up to get on stage. What are the things? I've done all the foundation work to prep myself so that when I feel totally shit scared about getting on stage and I have the total imposter syndrome, I've created my Sasha Fierce version of getting on stage, right? I've got my necklace on. I got on my bad bitch boots. I have my hype song. So this is all the things that I break down in my chapter is I have a song. My song is Destiny Shaw's song, Survivor. Just listen to those lyrics, girl. They're freaking so empowering. I'm a survivor. Like, they just motivate me. And so what I did is I had this little toolbox of motivation that when I needed it, I put on my headset, I listened to the song, I got on my necklace, I've got on my bad bitch boots, and I've got my hair done. This whole hairstyle is very deliberate because it allows me to embody a certain thing that I'm trying to cultivate. And then as soon as I got on stage, I had developed this alter ego character that enabled me now to just to go out and crush my speech.
I love it. So you were using the boots and the necklace and the hair and style to help you step into that feeling. So I think sometimes people think I have to feel a certain way and then you'll show it with the way you dress. But I think the way you're doing it, that makes total sense because when you feel good about what you're wearing and if you're wearing things that empower you, that's going to help so much to be able to step into that role.
1,000%. And I use that in every single thing I need to do to show up. And I also use it for the opposite. So I don't know about you, but running a business and, so for me, I like being a soft, squishy wife. And what I mean by that is I love it when my husband just like cuddles me and picks me up and I love being like just squishy around him and like soft. But when I'm running a business, when I've been going 8-12 hours in one day where I'm just freaking balls to the walls, having to decide millions of dollars are on the line and making hard freaking decisions, I get tough. And so I also use that, the clothes as a flip side to say, okay, right now I'm in my masculine, which I needed to be, I chose to be. But I actually want to really go into my feminine now. And I really do want to be soft. And I love that. And I'm like, but I don't feel like that right now. I just feel like a real freaking like tough, like ball, you know, when you're like, you know, your stomach's all like, no, you just like you're gritting your teeth. I was like, so I actually know right now I need to change the emotion and the chemicals pumping in my body. And so I'm just very, very honest about what are the things I want to feel? How do I change the chemical, deliberately change the chemicals in my body? I never judge myself for feeling the way I do. So I don't judge myself for being in that way. I just go, cool, I am here. How do I reverse it? Or how do I change it? And so things like, I just want a big squishy hug from my husband. And right now I feel a very like that tense frustration. I go, okay, I know that if I tie my hair up, if I take my makeup off and I have fluffy Wonder Woman pajama bottoms and I have matching onesies with my husband. And so I literally will just go, okay, I want to create this feeling. I want to create this emotion. I need to tie my hair up. I need to take my makeup off and I need to go put on my big fluffy onesie. And once I've done that, I've slowly, like you will really feel that slow stepping stone of your emotions changing. And so 1000%, I'm so, I try to acknowledge my feelings without ever judging myself, but I try not to let them steer me. I do try to be very conscious about what I'm trying to do, who I want to show up as, and then use things around me in order to do that. And that was exactly why I wrote the book. It's like, look, let's stop judging ourselves for all the things that we feel and the negative voice that we have and the way that we show up instead of just judging. The book really is like, no bullshit. This is how a lot of us show up and it's okay. But how do you keep going? How do you change your behavior in order to actually get the life you want? And so that is like a great example of non-judgmental. This is how it is, but these are the tools you can use in order to shift that.
I love it. And you have such a fun writing style. And I was reading it. I was like, oh, I loved it. It was like making me smile, making me laugh. Thank it was playful. It was just really, really fun to read. So Lisa, this has been amazing. I'm going to put links to your book and also to your show, Women of Impact. You have had such incredible conversations in there. You share so much wisdom, inspiration. So definitely recommend checking that out too. And, you know, to all your social and all that, there'll be links in the episode details. So before we close, anything else you want to share? And then I have one last question for you before we end.
Oh, if anyone wants any free coaching classes, I actually do have, if you go over to radicalconfidence.com and you buy a book, you buy the book, just enter your order number. And I have like 9-part coaching session that you get for free. So if you awesome. Go over to radicalconfidence.com right now, you can go check that out.
Amazing. Love it. Okay. Last question, Lisa. Knowing what you know today, what advice would you give to yourself from 10 years ago?
I wouldn't really give myself advice because I do think that like who I am today is absolutely an accumulation of all the messiness and all the failures and all the insecurities that I've gone through in my past. But I do think I would reassure myself that failing doesn't mean that you are a failure.
That's powerful. Yeah. And I love the way that you phrase that too. It's like all those life experiences, they're teaching you something and they're helping you get to where you are now. So that was awesome.
Thank you. And I do think of myself as like, you know, my superpower is the fact that I can get back up. And I think that that becomes a superpower and a mindset that allows me to keep going. And just to say another way for your audience that could be actually really useful is just using the word I am the learner. So when we all think about our own identities, if you just position yourself as the learner, now when you fail, think about it. When you fail, you're like, oh, well, I'm the learner. What have I like just learned from this? You walk into a room where maybe you're the only female and you are the only person that has zero experience and everybody else has way more experience than you, but you're the learner. You walk in without the imposter syndrome because you love walking in because you're about to learn. So just that little like, and I use it as a superpower analogy, but
I love it. Yeah. That perspective shift makes a powerful difference. Well, Lisa, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time with me today. Really, really appreciate it.
Oh my God. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.